The reading today is Zechariah 8, 1 to 13, and it's on page 953 and will come up on the screen as well. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Before that time, there were no wages for people or hire for animals. No one could go about their business safely because of their enemies, since I had turned everyone against their neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. The seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your clarity in how we can have a really deep and good knowledge and love of you. Father, would you breathe your presence again on us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, for those of you who can't remember who I am because I've been away for ages, my name's Matt. I've been out in countryside learning how to do country parson things, which has been quite wonderful. It's involved a bit of real ale, and it's involved some robes, and it's involved a whole bunch of really good learning, actually, to see what people are doing in other parts of the country where a good Sunday service is about 25 people or so. It's amazing to see what people are doing throughout the country in different places, how to reach out with the love of Jesus. But today we are looking at Zechariah. So in 2 Chronicles 5, it says that Solomon had finished building the temple and they had the Ark of the Covenant. It will start in a second, I promise. It's incense. This is frankincense. And in a minute, hopefully, it will start making big clouds. And the reason I've brought it with you is because sometimes when we talk about the presence of God, we think, oh, that's kind of a nice warm feeling in our hearts, which is really true. Sometimes that is God warming our spirits or, you know, coming close to us. But actually, the very first time that he fills the temple is in a great big cloud. And it wasn't a cloud that they'd made. It was a cloud that he'd made. In fact, he made it at the wrong time because all the people were still doing their celebrations of this is what's happening in our service. They might have been partway through. In fact, they were partway through saying, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then they walked in, and then this cloud came down from God. And it was such a cloud of his presence that they couldn't finish their service. They had to give up on it because God's presence was so powerfully there. And I find that just amazing, that kind of waft of God's presence, the fact that his presence was visible and tangible. I spend my weeks telling people about God, but I'd love to be able to go, it's that cloud over there. You can physically see that he is there. Hopefully in a minute this will start to do something more interesting. I'll leave it in the middle for you. And we'll see how we get on. In practice this morning in my garden, I looked like I was, anyway. But in a moment, hopefully you'll get some waft. Anyway, that was the deal. God's presence would be with them. And they would obey him and he would bless them. And they wouldn't be afraid. But obviously they were in exile, so everything had gone wrong. They'd been thrown out of their land, and how was it going to work now? Why were they in exile? And that's again in Leviticus in the same chapter you've turned to. If you do not listen to God and do not obey his commandments, those who hate you will rule over you. I will break your pride and will not be able to grow. You will not be able to grow crops. I will allow other nations to take you captive. And ultimately, you will be scattered to the east and the west into other lands. And that's what happened. The cloud had gone, a bit like mine has this morning, and they had been led off into Babylon. And we read at the end of the Psalms about how they wept for the loss of God's presence, how they wept that they were not back in the land. But as we know, and as they knew, because of the prophets, God is never finished with us. He never says, you've done something so bad that you're done. I'm never talking to you again. And so he starts to send these prophets we've got at the end there to tell them there is going to be a tomorrow. There is going to be a chance to be welcomed back. And we start with Haggai and Nehemiah. Haggai was the first one who writes to the people who'd started to come back to the land God welcomed them to. But as you'll see, if you ever read the book of Haggai, you've got this description of how everyone went back, and they did possibly what I'd do when I get home. I'd get my sofa, I'd get my cup of tea, I'd make sure my creature comforts were there. And that's what they were doing. They all got themselves ready for being settled back in the land. But they got settled, and it took them 20 years to get settled. And Haggai says, you've got settled, but your crops aren't growing. I wonder why that is. It's because God's temple's still ruined. It's because you haven't reestablished the place of worship. You've just taken care of your own stuff. And you've forgotten that the whole deal of having a relationship with me and my blessing rested on you remembering knowing me is the most important thing in your life. And that's why Zechariah, the first half of it, is saying this is how you reestablish the temple. Chapter 8, which is our chapter for today, describes a bit more. Verse 2, God is jealous for their hearts. He loves them. I get this a little bit. If I'm walking down the road and I see some other man clocking my wife, and I think I'm not very happy about that. I feel rightly jealous for her. And perhaps you do the same if you've got a wife or a husband. And God feels that about our hearts. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And he gets jealous of the other stuff that gets in the way. Verse 3, it says, God will dwell in their midst. Verse 4 and 12, they will be at peace. Verse 7, he has gone and gathered them from the east and the west and brought them back into the land. It's a quote kind of all the way back from Abraham towards the start of this story where you will have a land and I will be your people and you will be, no, you will be my God and I will be your people. It's a quote right from the start of this story, reestablishing them again. The vine and the crops will be there, and the nations will not use your name as a curse and say this is what happened to them, but actually will know that you have been blessed. And so in amongst all of this, I wonder what you take from the message of Zechariah. The first thing I think we can take is that in Zechariah chapter 1, it begins with, return to me and I will return to you. Return to me and I will return to you. Jonah discovered in the Bible he couldn't outrun God. Israel discovered that actually God would continue to seek them and bring them back. The prodigal son found again, wherever he went, that God would bring them back. And I think that's so true for us, isn't it? That wherever we go, that God would say, I want to bring you back. One of the things I thought would be helpful for us to think about this morning is when we turn back to God, return to me and I'll return to you, how much of a turn do we need to do? By that I mean, sometimes your spiritual life is going really, really well. And I think during the week, I've gone maybe 5 degrees off course, so it's not much of a turn back. There's still a turn, because the world still pulls me off course, but actually it's not that big a turn. But there's other times in life where you think, oh my goodness, I've done a 180, I'm walking away from God, and I need to turn all the way back. And perhaps you might just want to have a think for a second. How big a turn do you need to come back to God this morning? Are you slightly off course? Have we gone way off course? What do we need to kind of bring us back on track? Because he always welcomes us, and he always wants to bring us home. I've been particularly challenged this week by the parable of the sower. You might remember it, where you've got the different sorts of seed that are like the word of God planted in people's lives, and they grow, and different things happen to them. But I've been most challenged by the weeds. I've always thought I want to be the good soil, but every now and then I think, am I like the weeds? Now, in my garden, the weeds just grow. It just happens. And you gradually find that all your plants have died because the weeds have kind of choked them. I don't know if the rest of you find the same sort of deal. And I know also that in my own life, if I'm not careful, other things come up and they choke my faith. For me, there are things like people saying, can I go and do something else on a Sunday morning, please, when I wasn't a vicar, didn't have to be here. But before, when I was a teacher, people would say, can't you come and do this and that and the other on Sunday morning? And after a while, I thought, I haven't been to church in a month. I feel like I'm spiritually being choked by these weeds. Or it might be my house group that I haven't been to in ages. Or it might be that I've stopped praying because life's just busy. My calendar has quiet times booked in. I don't know if you do the same thing, but I book like half an hour with God at different times during my day to make sure that I've kind of stayed close to him. And I remember the other day just sitting and thinking, I've just deleted 3 of those this week. That's not very helpful. That can be a bit like the weeds coming up and choking my spiritual life. What do I need to do about that? And all of that is because we don't have a temple that has this glorious cloud in it anymore. Our hearts are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it's up to us to think, well, actually, I want God's presence in my life. I want God's power in my life. I want to be able to hear him more clearly. I want to be close to him. And how do I do that? Well, I think what I've done there is actually covered over my fire, and that's what's killed it. But if I'd done it properly, I'd have left room for it to breathe. I'd have given it life. And perhaps that's true for us this morning too. How do we try and make sure that us and God is healthy? It's that spending time. And as we do it, we see what he will do in us and through us. So let me just finish by praying for us. Father, whether we need to turn back to you just by 5 degrees, or whether we've been walking 180 degrees in the wrong direction, Lord, we thank you that you always welcome us. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. And perhaps just in a moment of quiet in your heart, you might just want to pray, God, I'm sorry, bring me back to facing you. Bring me back to you, Jesus. Father, sometimes like Zechariah's audience, we realize that we have just built a lovely, comfortable life and filled it with lovely stuff, but that you're not at the middle of it anymore. God, would you forgive us? We pray that you would be the one on the throne in our lives. Lord, help us to remember that we seek you first, and then you help to take care of the rest of our lives for us. But it's you first. Lord, help us to put you first. And just in a moment of quiet, let's just ask God to highlight for each one of us, what does that mean for us? Are there things that are in the way? Or actually, God, is God saying to you, brilliant, you've got it right, you've got me at the center. So, Father, we ask that like your Spirit filled the temple, Lord, that your Spirit would fill our hearts, drawing us closer and closer to you, reminding us of your love and your favor on us. In Jesus' name, amen.